Everton and Aston Villa come back to reality, but Man City is having their worst start under Pep. We down here in the Rat Tail Bunker and Barbershop Studio, and this is the Boys and Bolos podcast. Welcome back to the Boys and Bolos podcast. Jarrett, welcome to the new and improved barbershop.
Why is it improved?
We got a new poster here.
We have a new visual.
A new visual aid.
For an audio platform.
A map of England.
A club map of England.
You got to feel like in the...
In the vibe, in the zone.
In the environment, a good environment.
It's like having a disco ball in a nightclub. It just makes it seem more official.
I think so. I think that's what we're going for
here. I don't know what the play is.
When the guests see it, they'll be impressed.
We're going to have to put it on the wall then.
I think we'll hang it up. I have some hardware to hang it up, so we'll be all right.
It's very nice. Your wife is a great gift giver because that thing is solid.
It was a birthday gift.
Ah, your birthday.
Birthday was last month. I turned the ripe old age of 34.
Ooh.
As of 2 weeks ago, sober.
Sober. For how long?
I've been sober for 2 weeks now. 2 weeks. See the stutter?
How long are you going for?
Like, if I was at like a social gathering and somebody offered me a beer, I'd probably have one.
Just calming it down a little.
Keeping it. I'm going to go on a detox for a couple.
Taking the hair off months. A bit.
Well, the first week was rough stuff.
Yeah, laid up, calling out of work, shivering at night.
A little bit of shivering, night sweats.
This is an interesting podcast.
Well, I remember...
It's called Soccer Therapy for everyone who's listening.
Well, no, strong run of episodes. I was drinking a lot of Claws.
You were destroying Claws. People couldn't see him, but Jeff would like stone cold Steve Austin, like, like pour him over his head. Yeah, Spurs! And then they'd tie.
Hey, they made the Europa League.
That's like the equivalent of tying.
Yeah, well.
Well, what?
They won today, so.
Oh, God. And we're into it. This week, we're doing week 6 review. You know, I forget that the Manchester teams and a couple other teams have still only played 5 games, but we are doing the week 6 review. This week was an odd week. I guess not too odd, but it did start on Friday with Leeds beating Aston Villa 3-0. When I say Leeds, I mean Bamford. He just won the game. He took the game
by the scruff of the neck and put in a howler, put in a just like a well-placed shot, and then finished right on the six-yard box. So honestly, Aston Villa just looked like they're on the back foot the whole game. Leeds just pressed and pressed and pressed.
It's a seltzer. Don't worry.
They just pressed and pressed the whole game. Just basically outran Aston Villa. Aston Villa looked pretty flat. So Leeds got a much-deserved win. That game could have easily been 4-5-0. They were still pressing even in like the 90th minute. So it's impressive to see them run all over Villa. Thought Barkley looked especially uncomfortable playing against a team that just basically just had way more fitness than he did. He looked bad, comparably.
He looked a little bit under his quality. I think in a couple last weeks, he went a little over his quality. So he'll find a good common ground in there and hopefully help Villa. This was the first... Well, let me say this. Leeds is the team, I think, that has looked the best throughout the season. The most consistent. Now, people will disagree with me or not, but I think they've been the most consistent. They haven't had too many highs and they haven't hit too many lows. Villa win 7-2 and then 2 weeks later lose 3-0. That is just such a wild swing. For me, Leeds has been the most consistent team through the first 6 weeks.
They lost a couple games by one goal. They lost to Liverpool by a goal. Oh, they lost to Wolves.
They lost to Wolves, which was, I think, a little uncharacteristic. But then they tied City. I just think that they've been the most consistent team as of through six weeks. I think a lot of that, however, has to do with I don't think many of their players have had to travel for international break, and they're not in Europe. That's right?
Yeah.
Am I missing something?
No.
And they've fended off injuries pretty well. They've been pretty lucky. Other teams have already started to deal with that.
I thought that Leeds would come out and they would score a lot of goals but get scored on a lot. And that first game, it was 4-3. Liverpool put up 4 goals on them. I thought, well, this is, you know, a championship team trying to play with the big boys. High press, you know, get scored on, high risk, high reward type of thing. But let me tell you, they're playing better defense. I think Luke Ayling has been playing exceptionally well outside back. Just a solid, solid player. Robin Koch, the German center back, has found his own. So I thought they were going to win the game. I was surprised at how much they dominated. So
it helps to have a guy who just can pull goals out of, like, he just scored those. The third goal to me was the most impressive. He had a nice settle touch, kind of threw his weight. And then as he's moving his body in one direction, he just kind of like lifts it. I mean, it was just
plays to his advantage. He's left-footed.
He's left-footed. Obviously, he was on his right foot, but he threw his weight to his right to get the defender just open up just a little bit and then just popped it. And the goalie just saw it so late, it didn't matter that it wasn't didn't have the most pace on it. He's just a goal scorer. I think he'll probably have 15 goals this season in the Premier League, which coming up from the Championship is impressive for a striker.
He played for another Premier League club a couple years back, 3 or 4 years back. Always came off the bench, and so never really got a shot. And now he's playing a full 90 under Bielsa, and I think it's really helping him because he seems to come into his own as the game progresses. So works hard, figures out what the defense is doing, exploits, and then puts in a goal or two.
I haven't looked. I assume, however, that Leeds are scoring a lot of goals late just because of their fitness. They're catching teams tired. They're catching teams on set pieces tired, dead balls tired, and they're just taking advantage. If we had our intern, I'd be like, intern, look that up. And they'd be like, yes, sir. Like, this is what the situation is. That's the story in my head, that they're scoring goals late, and I could look back at all the games. I think Leeds are going to finish top eight. They don't have Europe. They're fit. As long as they weather injuries, which you could say that about any team, it's not like a magical statement, I think Leeds are going to finish top eight right now.
And I think that if they continue to play well into December, players who want to make a move to the Premier League will look at Leeds, maybe if they didn't look at them before, and say, this is a real team that may be in Europe next year, or I can help this team be in Europe the following year. And so maybe they can bring in another player in January, a player or two. They were very active in the transfer market during the summer, so it wouldn't be a big stretch for them to sign. I think they might have to sign somebody to back up Calvin Phillips. He was out injured this game. They responded fine. I think all the players in that team are pretty fit and ready to go, but have a backup for him and then maybe another center back. They can score goals, obviously, and their high press is going to work. So, yeah, I think that...
Do you agree that they've been one of the most consistent? For me, they're the most
I haven't really thought
team.
About it. I
Well, think about it.
I'm thinking about it now. I'm thinking that they never change their style, and you know what you're going to get with Leeds. They're going to just press, try to catch you in the counter, try to catch you. They're going to get the ball in the high up the field very quickly, and that's kind of what they try to do. Teams are, I think, surprised by that. I don't think that City was prepared for a team to be that fit and run that much. I think that they're consistent. I think that they're never going to change the way they play. I think Bielsa ball is like their thing. Yeah, we'll see how they weather the December times, the Christmas times, and then whether, you know, what happens in the transfer window, if the players leave or players come in. And then, you know, it's a 38-game season. So,
long
and then there's FA Cup starting up too. So it'll be in that competition as well. So
that's true. They'll get their week more divided up.
Yep.
Next game, West Ham City played to a draw. Another underwhelming performance from City. Not having De Bruyne hurts. Obviously, he's probably top three playmakers in the world, if not like number one passing. Just a guy who just executes at a high level in the final third, picking a pass. The Antonio goal was nice. Was it not nice?
It was ballsy.
It was awesome. It was like Ibrahimovic-esque, the way he just kind of
he's
like
a big guy, so he
held him off and then created the space. And as a defender, you can't do anything. You're just watching that ball go in the net. There's nothing you can do. Nothing you can do. Once he has position, you're going to have to drag him down, which will be a penalty.
What's interesting about City is they are pretty much the same team offensively as they were last season, minus Silva.
Yes and no. Minus Silva, minus Leroy Sané.
I guess what I'm trying to say is they didn't make any upgrades offensively. And De Bruyne...
They made zero upgrades defensively.
And De Bruyne,
other than getting rid of Otamendi, sorry to cut you off. Getting rid of Otamendi is like worth three goals in the Premier League. He's so bad. He was so bad. He'd been rotting on that team in the defense for years.
So they didn't make any offensive upgrades. De Bruyne looks slow, like he had too many cheeseburgers on vacation or something. Now he's hurt. So he came off the bench this game, didn't really make much of an impact. But the surprising tactical personnel-wise, you know, what Pep did with that team is he didn't start Foden. And Foden, of course, came in and immediately changed that game and scored the first goal. And I just don't understand why that he doesn't start. Like, why he didn't start that game. Like, what was he thinking? So
I think it's just rotation.
I think
there's Champions League, and I think you'd rather have Foden in the Champions League. And he also probably thinks, well, this team I have out there can probably beat West Ham.
after West Ham came from behind and scored three goals in 10 minutes the week before.
Ham's not an easy team. West Ham has played some big games in the last, with the restart, and even in this season, they've like looked good. I just still think that that team on paper that he starts with should be able to beat Manchester City. I mean, sorry, the team that he starts with should be able to beat West Ham.
Sterling is supposed to be a world-class striker.
Do you think he's world-class? He's
supposed to be a world-class striker.
Who would you rather? Now, I know that this is a ridiculous question because of the current moment, but overall context, do you take he or Son?
Son.
Yeah, me too. 100%. And I think most people do. Because Son also plays both sides of the ball as a forward.
I also think that, Son works harder. And I think that Sterling falls a lot in the box and tries to get fouls. And I know people might not like that about him. Maybe the English people might not like that because he's on the national team or whatever, but that's the impression I get. He's looking for a foul a lot of times when he gets in the box. He does have some great plays, and he's a quality player. What I don't like about City, and what I think people have figured out about City, is that they play pep ball, which is basically just hold possession, 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 pass around, pass around, pass around, try to get it to a creative player, and then make a play in the box and score. But what their problem is they don't. They either have players that are new to that system. They have some, and they play at the back. So they have some new, they have a new center back and Ake and Diaz. And perhaps they're not as accustomed to that type of play. I don't know. But it seemed like in that game, West Ham was going to let them play their ball, play the way they play. And then eventually, because I saw it happen a few times, City made a bad pass. They got the ball back and they countered. And their defense still isn't like seem to be clicking. There's something going on there with their defense.
That's what they did to Chelsea last year when they beat us 3-2 with the Yarmolenko goal at the end. They're really, and I don't like even, it seems like an oxymoron to say it, David Moyes has them exceedingly disciplined right now. They can hold their block and then they can counter. And Antonio's quality, if he gets in the box and he gets a turn or he gets the ball right, he's going to cause people problems, especially Premier League center backs these days, honestly, are just trash. Like, when I think about it, there's like no good center. Like, you took Van Dijk out of the question, it's a joke. So there's not many people that Antonio is not going to cause problems for over 90 minutes. I think Antonio is going to get a lot of goals this season, probably upwards of 20, which is weird because I just took him off my fantasy team for Harry Kane. I'm not surprised by this result. I do think is this a worry for City, this result?
It's absolutely a worry.
Is it?
It's their worst start under Pep.
This result. Okay, I mean, I guess, yeah, bigger picture. It's their worst start under Pep. The question that was asked the other day on NBC was like, is Pep's magic wearing off? I think yes. Then the question is, then what? Then what do you do? Because clearly, if they're going to hold 60, 70% of possession and not score, that's why I left Barcelona. They did that. They had like 85% possession. I know this is like going way back, but they had 85, like some ungodly percent of possession against Chelsea in 2012 when we beat them in the semifinals, and that was Pep's last season. Maybe he left in early, I think he might have left in early 2013, but that was like his last months. Or maybe that was his last season. We were down. Chelsea played him 10 men. This is at the Camp Nou. This is like folklore for Chelsea players. But it's to say that they dominated possession, but then what? They still tied the game. They're not even getting good shots. I think that's the thing. You got to start with good shots. And they're not even getting that. I don't know. If they're one De Bruyne injury away from being in trouble, then the team's not that good. And we've said the same thing about Liverpool. If Van Dijk goes out and now you have Gomez and Fabinho back there, long season, long season.
I also heard that Aguero's hurt. The injury's a little more.
He's getting older.
Yeah.
He's getting
older.
No, I
mean, the injury, he played, but I think he came off pretty early, and that, I don't know if it's serious, but it's a nagging injury that's going to keep him either not playing a lot or out of games. So they're in trouble.
They need Jesus back. They need him in the cycle to take pressure off Aguero. Mahrez also needs to score, and Sterling needs to start scoring.
And
Sterling is a 20 goal season guy.
Foden's not old, is not experienced enough, and not mature enough to be like the guy, the go to guy on that team yet. And De Bruyne needs to be the guy, the go to guy, and you were obviously watching what's happening when he's not out there. They look just like whatever, you know?
Because you look at it and you're like, all right, Gundogan, Rodri, and Silva. Those three guys are just kind of like holding midfielders. I don't even know. They're kind of like, they're all like Thiago in the sense of their technical ability, but they're just kind of like holding midfielders. Now, I know you're going to say Silva maybe is a little bit more, you know, north to south rather than east to west. He does not, you know, he doesn't just make lateral moves. I think Silva's one of the best ballers in Europe, and I think he has been for a while. The way he moves off the ball, he continually looks for space, creates space, finds players in interesting positions, looks for overloads. His overlapping runs and underlapping runs are quality. But if he has no one else moving off of him, it just doesn't matter. City still will win the Premier League is my get, especially now with the Van Dijk. But it's going to be a tough road for them to do it. They're not making it easy. They should win this game. They got to win this game. Next game, Fulham, Crystal Palace, Zaha looking good. That dude balls. I don't know how he can stay on Crystal Palace. I know they threw money at him, whatever. This was also the game where Fulham's were relegated. I think we've said that a lot, and it's only game six, but there's nothing there. It's flat. It's not going to work. If they're going to lose like that to Crystal Palace, it's just like...
Crystal Palace is a mid-table team. They're going to be finished 10th to 12th.
10th to 15th, maybe.
No, 15th is harsh. I think they're better than that.
I think they are better than that, but I also think there's so many good teams in the top 10 that they're going to, you know...
Didn't surprise me. Result, didn't watch the game. I will admit that. Fulham's a bore to watch. It's hard to watch them. They got a red card.
It's hard to watch. You got Timmy Ream back there.
They didn't score until the 95th minute, so it was kind of like a whatever goal. So, pure domination.
Pure domination. Next game, 0-0, Chelsea United. Did watch this one. Frustrating. I don't think either team... I think both teams came out wanting to play, but would rather have tied than lost, and it showed. Because after about minute 60, I just didn't see much. Mendy looked great because he was a goalie between two pipes and underneath the bar who was actually saving shots, which was... I haven't seen that in two seasons or something with Chelsea, because honestly, we would have lost that game with Kepa Engel. He made the kick save against Rashford in the first half, and then the save that was going far post that Rashford bent in towards the end of the game. Either one of those would have gone in. That's Kepa. One out of two shots goes in. Literally is a 54% save percentage. That is garbage. So Mendy looked great. I do think the only thing to really harp on this is the no call. Not even the no call. The no review on the Azpilicueta wrestling match with Easter Island Head. How is that not even under review? It's a mind boggle to me.
They just go back and look at it for 20 seconds. I don't understand. I don't get it. They're not looking at fouls that's happening on set plays. I don't know what they're even doing.
But somebody must have seen it, because if they showed it on NBC Sports over here, and it was slow-mo, and Azpilicueta was like, I can't do anything. He had position, too. I don't know if Azpilicueta was going to get that ball and be able to get over it and head it down on goal.
It's a foul.
But it's a foul. It's a penalty. I've seen way less given for a penalty.
We can talk about that. But my bigger question about this game, my question for you is, are you concerned about Kai Havertz?
Because yes, I'm very concerned about Kai Havertz and Timo Werner. We spent £120 million, I don't care, 120 million rupees, doesn't matter. A lot of money on those two dudes, and they're not producing. They're just not producing.
I'm more concerned about Havertz because Werner is a poacher. Werner is a finisher.
He's a poacher, but he's got to poach.
Yeah, but
we're playing.
The problem is Havertz, he's not playing well.
He's not.
He's supposed to get him the ball.
6 million or something? I mean, it's ridiculous. He needs to play better. I'm hoping that Frank is going to try to put him in a position. I just think the bigger thing is, like, he cannot have Jorginho giving him the ball. Jorginho plays so slow. He needs Kovacic in there, or they just need to put Conte behind him and just have Havertz there.
Even, like, you could play some kind of formation where Mount's in there. I don't know. Mount's a little more attacking, but the fact that Mount's not getting playing time is going to be... People are going to start saying, should Mount be in there over Havertz? I mean... I'm not saying that that's the solution. I'm just saying that Mason Mount deserves to be on the field. He is a quality player that is better than Jorginho. I know he's not as good defensively as Jorginho, maybe, but, and he can't take penalty kicks as well as Jorginho. Jorginho would say that it's his bread and butter in this league. But Jorginho, every time I see him in this lineup, I'm like, what is he?
He's,
is he slipping?
He should not be on this.
Is he slipping hundos to Frank before the game? It's crazy.
He's on the take, dude. It's ridiculous. I start Kovacic over Jorginho, and I think Havertz has a better game because I think he gets the ball quicker. And Kovacic will at least make moves around Havertz so that way to create space for Havertz, and Conte can just sit. I don't understand it. Frank's obviously looking into it, I hope, because he has to play better, and I just think he needs a better supporting cast. And he has the right amount of players in front of him that are great. Everyone around him is fine. Jorginho, to me, is just rough. He's literally left over from the Sarri ball regime, and I would love for him to move on to different pastures in January. And for us to find a guy who's just going to hold and just sit there and give the ball to Havertz and move off a little bit, but, you know, kind of stay central and let Havertz slide in under Werner, Ziyech, Pulisic, whoever's up there. Mason Mount would be better, as you said, having Conte in there, Mason Mount, and then Havertz in front, and just tell Mason to kind of stay home. I don't know what they're doing. I really don't know.
It was a weird lineup. Like, they played three in the back with Chilwell playing outside mid. It was very strange.
It was a 3-4-3 with wing backs. So you, like, attack with five, and you also defend with five. It's a swing.
It didn't work, though.
It didn't work only because we didn't score goals. I mean, I think, like, if different shots were taken, we could have scored goals. I think it worked in the sense that we didn't lose the game, and I think Frank was really... When was the last time Chelsea had two clean sheets? I don't even know. And we had two clean sheets against great teams. The Europa winners in Sevilla midweek, and then we, you know, went zeros. And that's what Frank's trying to take away from that.
I really think that the pairing of Thiago and Zuma is working with Mendy back there. And so I don't think Zuma has suddenly become a good center back. I just think that he's better with Silva.
And it's not even a pairing. Zuma looked good there because he had five in defense. When the other team had the ball, you know, they dropped in Chilwell to his left. So he has Chilwell to his left, and he has Thiago inside.
But essentially,
and he's not getting pulled over as far because on the other side of that is Pili Quadra, and then the other, Reece James drops. So we were defending with five sometimes.
Yeah, but he's never lined up as an outside back. He's lined up as a center back.
Exactly. He sits in the three in the middle, right. And I think he looks better that because when he's with two, even with Thiago, he's bound to make errors. Like, the guy just falls asleep. The thing he did where he gave that shit pass back to Kepa and Southampton scores. Zuma's a liability. He honestly has always been a liability. I haven't seen him really mature much with the ball. He's been able to read the game better, which is good when he doesn't have the ball, which is very valuable. With the ball, I still think he makes very poor decisions. But 0-0, you know, we both pick up a point. It's great for all the other teams. It's kind of like meh for us. I just don't know how you don't VAR review that tackle. And then, good transition to the Liverpool-Sheffield game, they VAR review a tackle which was literally millimeters into the box for Sheffield. How? And it was like, seemed such like an innocuous tackle. We talked about, Fabinho shouldn't have made the tackle. There was no value in him winning that ball. The player was negative. He wasn't going to shoot. Fabinho's body position was fine. But how do they review that VAR? Because we have to assume that VAR is consistent because there's some kind of a roboticness to it in that sense, because they do have the ability to see all the angles, to slow it down.
There is a human element to VAR.
There is a human element, but I think they need to really kind of come together, because between those two games, I see the Chelsea game and I see Azpilicueta basically get pile driven in the box by Easter Island Head, and then I see the other one, and Fabinho scuffs some dude's puma, and then that guy gets a friggin' PK. Are you out of your mind? It's ridiculous. That just doesn't make sense. It has to be either both, they're both reviewed, or neither are reviewed. Not one, and then not the other. That just makes no sense.
So, the VAR rooms are in the stadium, right?
I have no idea. I assume it's like a Goodyear blimp, and they just fly over the stadium, and then they hover.
We'll have to check on that. We'll have to have our
I actually honestly think it's a third party.
It's like in another.
Yeah, because they don't have to be. I mean, they see all the angles we see.
So I think it's their officiating crews that are in the VAR room. And so I think for every game, it's a different crew. And so it just depends on the crew you're dealing with. So it's the same as the crew that you're on the field with.
You're right. In that sense, like the human error, the human element does play a factor in human error because it's a different crew. But with.
What's the ref in the field doing? Is he even looking at it? What is he looking at when the play happens?
With that, I don't know, dude. You're watching the ball, and the ball goes in, and Azpilicueta gets, like, tombstoned. He gets, like, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin, aka Easter Island. It's just ridiculous. The question, though, is once you have a review, it doesn't matter what the crews are. Who sees that review in slow-mo and doesn't say, hey, you may want to go look at this? That's my question. And I haven't heard a good answer to that. Because once you hear it,
nobody knows.
See that,
nobody knows.
There's so many pictures that are, like, floating around. You know, this isn't, I don't know. Like, I watch the MLS, too. And the MLS, I enjoy watching the MLS. I think it's got decent soccer. I've been watching the Revs for a long time. However, the one thing I'll tell my dad, the difference is in the experience for the viewer. one, the officiating is not as good. Two, the VAR is really hard for them to do because they don't have as many cameras on the field to be able to see all these different angles. You know, they use like that eye in the sky thing, which is like robot that's on all those different wires.
Yeah.
Europe doesn't use that. They have all of them are surrounding the field and up from like, you know, up higher in the stadium. It's just a different angle because
from like satellites up in the sky.
Yeah, they have like, exactly. They have so, like Sputnik, some Soviet thing up there. But it's like, even in the MLS, they're using VAR way better than the Premier League. And I the Premier League has 10 times more angles to see these things. So I don't understand.
Well, Liverpool did win their game. They won as they should.
They beat Sheffield 2-1. Honestly, Firmino finally got on the score sheet with an easy tap in. I actually think, hot take, maybe you're going to say hot take. I think Liverpool's beating Sheffield with a stupid Firmino tap in, I guess you could say that the Fabinho goal was kind of the PK that they got was kind of like whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they only win that game 1-0 if you take away those two blips. Liverpool's win is more alarming at only winning 1-0 than City's tie. Because West Ham's a decent team. I guess it's just that like when you win games, all you do sometimes is you cover over problems. And Liverpool have a lot of problems. And I think in both of our opinions, and I think in Liverpool's fans' opinions as well, they have to be very honest the fact that their two center backs are dog shit.
They're absolute dog shit.
They actually don't even have center backs. Fabinho is a holding midfielder who they've dropped back. And Fabinho looked good. Like, if you look at the Champions League final when they won, he looked good. When they won the title last year, when he played in the middle of the park, he looked good. Joe Gomez looks all right when he's next to Van Dijk. When it's Joe Gomez.
That's questionable even.
And that's even questionable. But when it's Joe Gomez and Fabinho, that's just rough. So I think Liverpool's win is just covering up bigger problems than City's potential tie.
Let me tell you something.
Tell me
Sheffield
something.
Sheffield has nothing going forward. Absolutely nothing.
They have
nothing.
VAR. They have a lucky VAR call. That's
but
it.
The fact that they were even on the box at the edge of the box, like, you know, creating a chance against
this
Liverpool
really
team.
Telling.
It's
that's
really
what I'm saying.
Telling.
I think it's so. The other thing is you're totally right. This is the worst start Pep has had, I think, in a domestic league in his entire career. That, however, is saying something, because I think Barcelona, he won 3 out of the 4 years he was there titles. At Bayern, I think he won Bundesliga every single year. And since he's been in City, I think he's won 3 out of 5.
Talking about Klopp or Pep?
I'm talking about Pep. Pep wasn't at Bayern. Pep was at Borussia. What I'm saying is you said that this is the worst domestic league start that Pep has ever had.
No. No, I'm not saying that.
You said that.
Was no, I said this is the worst start City has had under Pep.
Okay, either way. The worst start City under is has to be taken with a grain of salt because he normally starts winning 5 out of 6 games.
Right.
So what I'm saying is Sheffield losing 1-0 or Liverpool winning 1-0, whichever way you want to look at it, I think is worse and more telling than the West Ham 1-1 tie without De Bruyne, without Jesus.
Yeah, you're not giving West Ham enough credit in that circumstance.
No, I am giving West Ham enough credit. I just still think City has a $1 billion squad and they should beat West Ham. What I'm saying is I just think it's more alarming that Liverpool only beat Sheffield 1-0 and that people are excited that Bobby Firmino scored a tap-in. They're in trouble. Defensively, they look rough. Going forward, Firmino's not, he's just not playing well. And Mane and Salah are really holding that team together.
When is Firmino finally going to get taken off the field?
Soon, because Jota's ready. We've been saying, you got to give that kid play. He's baller. Jota's...
You got to get Minamino more minutes, too.
Minamino needs a lot more minutes. Jota and Minamino are going to become a more central part, I think, especially as Champions League wears on. And if Bobby's form just continues to kind of be uninspired, there's nothing that Klopp's... You know, Klopp's got to play. He's got to play the best players.
Southampton, Everton. My game of the week, I thought.
You just hate Everton.
Yeah.
Do you hate Everton?
Yeah, I think they're kind of dirty, and I don't really like watching them. They're not that fun to watch.
Ooh, I can't wait till they play you guys again.
Well, it's not going to be for a while.
It's not
going to
be for a while.
So this game, the way that I saw this game go down was Everton played very poorly, and Southampton just exploited the fact that they had no presence in the midfield. They had no Richarlison, and Digne, and I think Digne just didn't play very well, and they couldn't impose their will in the midfield. And Richarlison does that. I think there was a stat, or 6 of the last games that Richarlison didn't play, they haven't won. They've either tied or lost. They don't win games when they don't control the midfield. And James looked particularly like kind of taken out of the game this that day. So
depending on what formation they play, though, Richarlison normally isn't in the midfield, is he? He's more a higher up forward. But he presses so much that he causes so many problems. Iwobi doesn't press as well. Iwobi right now is also maybe half the player that Richarlison is. Would you say that's accurate? Iwobi used to be nice. When he was on Arsenal, I thought he was really nice. I was actually surprised that they let him go. But I feel like Richarlison normally plays up top. Either way, he causes so many problems because he's an aggressive player and he likes to go and win the ball from defenders. Iwobi's not that guy.
He tracks back. What I'm saying is he tracks back and he plays.
He gets behind the ball. And he gets behind the ball problems.
And he causes problems. And he works hard.
Iwobi isn't that guy. So you're, I didn't think about that, but that's true.
They didn't have anybody to win the ball back in the midfield.
I love James. He's really not a good defensive player. Like, he just is just a warm body on defense. So you have he and Iwobi and not Richarlison. It's rough for them to. However, in the first half, I think it was, Sigurdsson almost had the goal of the season. He had a worldie, just dipped a little too late and went off the crossbar.
For me, this game was.
It's your favorite team, Jeff, Everton.
Southampton won the game in the midfield. They dominated the midfield and they pressed far better than Everton. Everton looked just like they didn't show up. Like they went down one goal. They went down by a goal and they just couldn't respond.
It was a reality check. I saw a tweet. It was like, well, I guess Everton aren't going to have an invincible season. It was a pretty good troll. Oof. Six game streak of not losing.
I felt like it was a little karma from the week before. Pickford played particularly poor. He was in his feelings the whole game. He just looked bad. It was karma.
It was in his feelings.
I feel like their luck ran out. Their luck ran out this week.
Do you think the Digne was a red card?
Yeah. Of course it was.
You think it was a red card?
Yeah.
God, we disagree. I think it was a sloppy play that should have gotten a yellow.
You can't cleat a guy's Achilles.
If you watch it, though, he's running in stride.
It doesn't matter. It does not matter. It's the same thing as, like, you're endangering a player. Anytime you go after a guy's Achilles, you're going to get a red card. It doesn't matter. It does not matter.
Wow, we disagree on that. I think it was a sloppy play.
Yes, it's sloppy. That's why you get a red card. You endangered a player. It's a red card play. And I think a lot of people would agree with
it. It killed the game. It came in the 72nd. Once that happened, it was over. Lights out.
I would argue that it was over before. They weren't. Everton was doing nothing in the second half.
It's tough to be consistent every week, week in, week out in the Prem.
I called it last week. They're a sham, and I will continue to say they were a sham. They're going to drop more points because now Digne can't play.
And Richarlison.
And so they're going to lose. They have a pretty soft schedule for the next couple weeks, but they will not.
Who do they play, though? Unless they're not playing Fulham or Bromwich, dude, there's not really, like, soft games right now.
They are playing Newcastle, United, and Fulham. So, maybe. If they drop points at Newcastle, which is possible, they could tie. I don't think that Newcastle's going to win. United will probably beat them. They've been playing better.
They have been playing better. All right, next one, Wolves, Newcastle. This is a tie. Jimenez had a nice goal from outside the box.
Yeah, Newcastle stole a point.
They stole a point. They still won. Raul Jimenez continues to be one of the best number nines in the Premier League. Newcastle steals a point.
Both goals came after the 80th minute.
Yeah, and that is totally something that James was actually saying on the last pod about how many teams are scoring goals late in games, which for me always, like, the second I hear that, I'm like, oh, well, teams are tired and they're not fit. And so when they're physically giving up, then their bodies are mentally shutting down and then they're conceding errors. Some of these goals have just been worldies that you wouldn't stop even in minute one. Like, that Jimenez shot was unreal.
Right.
It's a very nice, very nice play. Yeah, so Newcastle got a point. They needed that point. I thought they kind of slowed down, Wolves' momentum, because I thought Wolves have looked fairly, fairly strong. And I think you said that this is their best start in the Premier League.
It still is their best start in the Premier League. The thing that strikes me about Wolves, and the thing that kind of worries me about Wolves, is that they score a goal and they seem to just pack it in. They're like, all right, we scored, let's like defend, play boot ball. Like, teams are going to figure that out. Like, you can't do that in the Premier League against quality teams.
Because I don't feel like they did that last year. I feel like last year they would attack. They'd go up and they'd just keep knocking on the door because why not?
They're a weird team. They're strong defensively. I mean, Connor Cody is turning into a really
Connor
good
Cody
player.
Maybe, I don't know what his pen, like, I don't know what he's signed there. I don't know what he's penned on pen to paper there, but he's a guy who in the December transfer window could go to a Liverpool. He's a guy who they could say, okay, all right, we're going to push. Wolves, what do you want to do? We're going to force your hands. We're going to throw money at him. if they keep quality. Up with quality. The Gomez-Fabinho show.
Good leader, strong in the back.
Arsenal-Leicester, Vardy, super sub.
Is Vardy hurt? Is that what's happening here?
I never know if he's hurt. I assume he's always 100%. That dude's like, went from pub league to winning the Premier League. He's God. He's up with Godba. Hashtag Drogba.
He came on and he was the difference maker. So him and Sengiz Under.
I'd never seen that name before. I think I did, but I pronounced it horribly wrong. Sorry, my guy.
Love to see Arsenal lose. I like that.
Arsenal.
Saw a great meme today. You want to know the meme I saw?
Oh, yeah. You sent me the meme. It's a beautiful meme.
It's beautiful. How many goals Son has scored? 8. How many goals all of Arsenal have scored? 8.
It's a really rough stat.
It's rough stuff. Dude.
The memes about Arsenal are some of the most rough memes.
They're ruthless.
They are rough.
Yeah.
Rough.
I know. Arsenal fans, they won a trophy. Spurs have won nothing, blah, blah, blah.
They've won 2 trophies in the last couple months.
They won
the FA and they won the Community Shield.
Oh, yeah, the Community Shield. That's right.
Which is more trophies than Tottenham has won in like 20 years, but that's another rough meme. Good memes for the London top 3 of Tottenham, Chelsea, and Arsenal, because there's rough memes about Chelsea. Most specifically, Kepa.
Oh, the Kepa memes are hilarious, though.
Oh, God. I feel bad for Kepa. No, I don't. No, I almost did, though. On live on air.
He looks like a sad boy in the stands. A very sad boy.
No one has ever... I don't even think... He must know he's not going to play, right? They signed Peter Cech, a 38-year-old dude who played hockey since retiring from Arsenal, to keep him around because Frank's worried about COVID goalkeeper crisis. I was like, you mean Kepa crisis? What are the conversations that Kepa and Caballero have after that? It's like, hey, you see they signed Peter? I thought he was just our coach. No, no, he's going to play now because he's better than both of us. Because we're schmucks. Cech is way better than Kepa. Way better. He's way more commanding in the box. Yeah. Kepa's so, you know, we're not going there.
Leicester won. I was rooting for Leicester because I hate Arsenal, but I was like, wait, but it's better for Tottenham and Chelsea if this game ends in a tie.
Ties are always better as a neutral.
I think I also had a hot take on Lacazette and how he's trash. I think that was like my hot take for
Lacazette
the game.
Is like so many players though that I feel like Arsenal pick up. Or they pick up a dude and they're like, oh, this dude's gonna change the game.
Yeah, because like he scores a worldie.
He'll score 2 or 3 goals out of like 5 games and then he just disappears. Like Nicolas Pepe. What happened to that dude?
Yep.
I don't get it.
What was interesting about the game is that like Partey started for the first time and I didn't even notice he was on the field. Aubameyang can't get service into the box. Aubameyang needs to start scoring.
Oh, what was the meme you sent me about Mustafi?
Mustafi decided that he's not going to sign with Arsenal.
Yeah.
When his contract runs out.
Mustafi doesn't want to renew his contract. And I told you that's like when you ask the person you don't want
like
to dance with
to dance
and they still say no. And you're like, damn it. Like, no one wants to dance with me. Because like signing, like, it's rough. It's super rough back
also,
there.
Like, Aubameyang hasn't scored a goal a long time.
Took him off my fantasy team, dude. He was sucking it up. One of the most expensive players not producing.
He signed that contract and was like, cool, I'm just going to hang out up here.
He's like, cool, I see how this works. I can sit around, be Mesut Ozil, and then give to Gunnar Sources 401k.
They seem to love to pay.
They love overpaying for everything.
It's like their favorite.
It. Even though,
and then cry like poor.
Well,
and then cry poor.
They're one of the most fiscal responsible teams in the Prem. I mean, Chelsea's probably. I should never talk about that. Brighton Hove, West Brom, they played today 1-1. Who's this worse for, this tie? It's got to be worse for Brighton because I think West Brom's on the train with Fulham. First class to the championship.
Let me remind you, West Brom tied Chelsea 3-3.
Oh, I know who
one
Chelsea
of their 3
have
points.
Tied. We love tying. Sevilla, West Brom, United, we love a tie. Southampton, love a tie. Love a tie. It's going to be one of those seasons. It's super awesome.
Love a tie.
Love a tie.
At least you get clean sheets, but you just won't score any goals.
You know what?
With like,
if that's what my world turns into.
600 million in attacking options.
I wonder what the bet is for Chelsea to go 0-0 their next game. It's got to be.
Who are they playing?
They're playing the Nahador Norse, the team in the Champions League.
You're talking about Champions League.
Yeah, their next game is Champions League, but having gone 0-0 in Champions League, then 0-0 in the Prem, for them to go 0-0 again, I mean, I just think the stats on that got to be like 1 in 1,000. But if we go 0-0 against that team, and I think they're from Norway, I'm going to break something. That's ridiculous.
Who do you think is going to start at forward?
Tammy.
Probably Tammy.
Probably Tammy. I want Tammy, Giroud, and Pulisic. Put the old guard back out there. Let Timo rest, because God knows we need to win in the Premier League.
That'd be saying something if they scored like four goals or something. You know what I mean?
Dude, Giroud always scores.
Just put Giroud
every
in there.
Time he gets on the field, he scores a goal. It's ridiculous.
Burnley, Tottenham. Did you watch the game?
I did not watch the game.
Oh, I watched the whole thing.
It's a work day.
Sweating in my seat.
When did Tottenham score? In the 95th?
VAR? No, they went to Turf Moor. And
I think it was one of the coolest names in the Premier League.
Like, it sounds like a place in like Game of Thrones. Turf Moor.
I just think it sounds like a place that sells turf.
Turf Moor,
come on down. We'll give you. We got the cheapest yard of turf in San Antone. You think it sounds like a place at Game of Thrones?
We can edit this out.
No, don't edit this out. There's a lot of God fans that are like, really, it's not going to end it? Daenerys? Just burn everything down? Okay.
Sounds good to me.
Okay. I have no more creative ending than that.
Turf Moor. It sounds... What people think Turf Moor sounds like.
We'll I told you, it sounds like a place you go buy turf by the yard. Hey, Jimmy, give me 3 yards
turf
of turf.
Moor.
Turf like, Moor. Turf Moor. Come on down.
Like when I
you got
when
popcorn
I hear,
for your kids.
When I hear Turf Moor, I think Moor, like moors, like out in like history.
Like in Scotland.
Yeah, like in Scotland, like moor. But you think more like moor, like more.
Like
give
moss.
Me more.
Yeah,
moss.
Dame moss,
no,
turf.
That's not how my brain works. A very refined, historic mind.
Do you?
I do.
I think it's just that you have Scottish heritage.
Ah, it's not true. No Scottish in me.
Isn't it Doyle your name?
That's Irish.
Irish, Scottish. Tough to tell.
Also, I think I have a lot more French in me than Irish.
Is that why you like Drew?
Yeah. Meaty. French forehead.
This is the longest review we've ever done.
Oh my God. We're going to cut most of it out, so don't worry
about
it.
We're not cutting any of this out.
It's all
people
making
are like,
it in.
This is a 3-hour podcast.
A Game of Thrones review. So,
oh gosh.
Tottenham Burnley. Tottenham can't win at home, but they can certainly win at Turf Moor because they went out and they played a very defensive Burnley team. It looked like Burnley just wanted to tie the whole game. I mean, they had a few chances, but they were not like, they had one shot on goal, two shots on goal.
Burnley are in survivor mode. Tottenham is in, we're trying to be top four or we're Premier League, like, maybe even win this thing. Who knows? It's
oh, they're definitely going for a top four. I mean, obviously, they have a team and they have the depth to, like, they didn't even start regular in this game and they looked fine defensively.
Burnley only have 1 point from 5 games. So they were just hoping for playing a top six team. Let's just get a point.
Yeah.
Just get a point at home. Not lose. Can't lose. Just not lose. And they're going for that, but you can't do that. I mean, you can't just sit back.
It was the old Dyer Toby pairing, and Dyer didn't make a mistake. He didn't look particularly great. He got lucky in a...
He didn't look particularly great, but he didn't make a mistake. Okay.
He got beat a few times, but he was able to, like, kind of catch up and not... Like,
Dyer was way back in there.
Yeah, Dyer was...
I mean, if he can...
He like,
can
tried
fight
to boot
the...
it off... He was last defender, and one of the... I don't know what player it was, but anyway, he kicked it. He like, tried to clear it out, and he kicked it against the player, and it just happened to hit his hand and got a handball call. If that guy... If like, went off his body, and he would have been on goal, so... And we would have all been screaming how bad Dyer is. So he got lucky there.
Dyer's not good in the back. Dyer's good in the middle. It's a shocker that he's still in the back.
Yeah, they need to transition Rodon into center back. Let him rotate with Sanchez, Toby, and then change the formation a little bit so Dyer can play just ahead of the... Just play like a defensive midfield. Not even holding midfield. Like defensive midfield. Because he's big and he can like win the ball and... as soon as he gets turned, he can't win the ball back without fouling. So
unless
he's a liability.
Unless he's going into the stands.
Sun scored.
Wait, we're still talking about Tottenham?
Well, I have to. We have to talk about a little bit about how good Sun and Kane are. I mean, they're the
Sun
best
and Kane
pairing
are ridiculous.
In like the history of the Premier League.
That's not true.
Second best in the history
Thank
of Premier
you.
League.
Drogba and Lampard are first.
Well, not by much.
Respect game.
Well, how many goals do they have? Goals and assists like
35.
Combo. Okay, so... Son and Kane are probably going to beat
They have 29.
That. Yeah, 29. This.
They may or may not beat that. We'll see. A lot can happen.
A lot can happen in the next
COVID
week.
COVID-20.
Next month, yeah.
COVID-21.
Just COVID-19 might just be the keep going for years and
oh,
years.
That's definitely going to happen, but COVID-20 or 21 could pop up too.
That's true.
And then
a whole new bat.
We just live down here in the barbershop.
Yeah, we're never leaving. You got Amazon Prime.
We'll never leave. Amazon Prime food to the house.
I barely leave now.
Who leaves?
They got 3 points.
Can we do the preview?
They got 3 points. They're in fifth place.
It's insane how they like were in. If they lose, they're in 11th. If they win, they're in fifth.
Come on, you Spurs.
The Prem is tight right now. Preview of week 7. Commence.
Starting up.
Wolves Crystal Palace on Friday. Who do you got, Jeff?
So Crystal Palace is definitely better than Newcastle. I think, again, it's going to be a tie. 2-2.
It's fair. I'll go 2-2. Sheffield City. It's got to be City. City need a statement here. This is ridiculous.
They're playing a Champions League game midweek. They may send out, I'm going to say 1-1 tie. Depends if Aguero plays.
I'm going City by 2 goals. 2-0, 3-1. Chelsea Burnley. Last year, this game happened, and Christian Pulisic scored a perfect hat trick.
Is it at Turf Moor or is it at the Bridge?
It's at Turf Moor. It's gonna be.
It doesn't really matter. That makes no difference. There's no fans. I say.
I'm going Chelsea 2-0. 1-1. Chelsea 2-0. We need to win this game.
It's a league of ties.
If Chelsea tie this game, I think we'll have tied 5 out of 9 competitive matches this year. Super exciting.
Well, I'm more. Actually, I don't even think 1-1. I'm going to take that back. I'm going to go back. I'm going to give it to you. I don't think they're going to get scored on because Burnley have literally no offense.
With Mendy in goal, yeah. With Thiago Silva healthy, I don't think they'll score a goal. And
I think it's going to be 2-0. I think you're right. 2-0.
Thank you.
I think Warner's going to score.
First time ever.
Well, no, I changed my mind, all right?
Yeah.
I saw the light.
Oh.
Mendy.
If you don't get that, go look at our Instagram, Chelsea fans, right now. Liverpool, West Ham.
Ooh, I'm gonna take a shocker on this one. I think West Ham's gonna win.
I'm going West Ham 2-1.
I'm gonna say Antonio's gonna score. Maybe Declan Rice finds the net.
It's at Anfield. This will be a shocker, but I'm gonna go Liverpool.
I just don't even care. 2-1. It honestly, doesn't even matter where they play anymore. It doesn't make a difference. They don't care. Nobody cares.
I kind of disagree with you, but.
Nobody cares. It doesn't matter anymore.
Anfield's still a fortress.
It's not a fortress.
There's thousands of fans.
There's no fans. They're watching in a movie theater.
Let's not even go down those dark roads.
Aston Villa, Southampton.
Villa.
Boo, Southampton.
Why?
Southampton are a better team than Villa.
Wow.
Boom. They just beat Everton.
It's true.
They
tied Chelsea.
Tied Chelsea. Spurs beat them 5-2.
I'm going to go Aston Villa in this game.
Okay.
I'm not giving a score prediction.
They're going to bounce back. A little bounce back.
Yeah, I'm not giving a score prediction. Just strict Aston Villa.
Oh, you're just taking the...
Just taking the game.
Taking the game. I'm not going to give a score prediction either. I'm just going to say Southampton's going to win.
Oh, that's cute.
Maybe it'll be VAR.
Everton, VAR Newcastle. Decision.
I'm going to go with Everton.
Everton. Everton by 2.
Calvert-Lewin finds the net again.
They're going to be coming out for blood there. Ooh, this game's going to be good. United Arsenal.
It's going to be a snooze fest.
Snooze fest? Snooze fest.
You know why? So? Yeah, they can't score. Rashford maybe will score. I think United will win 1-0.
Oh, yeah. Okay. United 1-0.
But boring. It's going to be boring.
I think it'll be end-to-end.
I think maybe Slabhead won't play.
When Slabhead doesn't play, they play better.
They play way better.
Jesus. He actually looked really good against Chelsea. That was my opinion. I thought he looked very good against Chelsea.
He looks solid. Saying that Slabhead's good is, like, you can't say that.
Tottenham, Brighton Hove. Go Tottenham by 2 goals. Tottenham look good.
Tottenham. Maybe Bale starts.
Maybe.
Although, maybe he goes. I don't think you can really. Brighton's a strong team. They're not, like, a bad team. They're not bad.
They're not a bad team, but Tottenham's better. Looking good. They're in a good moment. They got players. They're positive.
See what happens in Europa League this week.
Yeah, we're all dying to know.
Another Thursday game. Ugh. Group stage.
Fulham, West Brom.
Oh, God. Wooden
spoon. Wooden
spoon. West Brom. I think West Brom's going to find their first win of the game. First win of the season.
West Brom win this game, heads are rolling at Fulham. Because then it's just like, you got to win the games against the other relegation teams. And if you're losing this game, it's not good. It's not good.
I don't remember a team last season being, even like Norwich had some like fight in them.
Yeah, like, they beat City 3-2 in like the first or second
Yeah,
week.
It wasn't until like they didn't start imploding until a lot later.
Yeah, after Christmas, even actually around Thanksgiving. I think Boxing Day and the Christmas games, they didn't take many points.
I'm sure there are teams that have been way worse than Fulham that have gotten promoted, but it just feels like this team is
Derby
just...
County, I think, was the one. I think they only had 11 points in the entire
Oh, yeah, Derby. Yeah, that was 11 bad.
11 points from 38 games.
I think
that
I looked that set
rough.
Up. That was dark.
I think they only won one game, so that means they got 8 ties and 1 win. That is the roughest. However, Fulham, I'm going to be honest, are on that train right now because they have 1 point from 6 games and they're -9 in goal differential. They lose this game against West Brom, someone's getting fired. So heads are rolling.
We won't talk about it. I don't like to think about it. It makes me sad inside. Oh. Just teams like that bad just make me sad inside. You want it to be competitive at least.
It is competitive, just not at the bottom. It is still competitive in the bottom, and that game's going to like, there'll be red cards in that game because they have to win those games.
Okay, let's move on.
Have to get those 3 points.
Leeds United, Leicester. This is an interesting one.
I'm going to go tie. Yeah. I don't really know.
Leicester is strong defensive, even without Soyuncu. They're playing pretty
well. They're organized. Schmeichel looks good. Madison's a technician in the midfield. Vardy looks nice going forward. A tie. I don't really know what the score will be, but I think a tie.
It depends if Vardy starts, right?
Vardy's not going to start.
But they don't have they're not even, who's like the replacement for Vardy? I don't even know if they have one.
I don't know if they try to replace Vardy. I think they try to like make him up in the aggregate.
Oh, what are they, with who?
I'm looking at the lineup from the Arsenal game just to refresh. So they have Barnes up top, Madison, and Praet behind. They basically just play a lone striker. They play a 4-5-1.
Yeah, but as soon as Barnes came out, that's when they...
Yeah, well, Barnes came out, and then Vardy went in, and they scored. So they still have a guy who leads the line.
They still need to start Vardy. Vardy needs to play.
I don't think they need to start him.
I think he needs to play. He needs to score 20 goals for them to have any shot at getting top four.
It's true. I think he's scoring goals, though. I think...
How's
I don't think
score
he has
20
to
goals
start?
If he comes in the 75th minute.
He's still going to score goals.
One goal.
Leads.
I don't know.
Yeah, but you score a goal.
One goal every 3 games isn't going to get you there.
One goal every 3 games, and every once in a while, I'll have a hat trick. You get to 20 goals. 38 games.
He needs to play more than 20 minutes a game. That's ridiculous.
I don't know. Depending on his injury, though, he may not start. I think they can still beat Arsenal. I think Arsenal are weak in the back.
No, Leeds. They're playing Leeds.
Sorry, Leeds. I was thinking about Arsenal.
They're not that weak in the back. They played a lot
better.
No,
Leeds is a solid club.
The thing is Leeds have played better offensive teams than Leicester and came away with wins or ties.
That's why I'm going with a tie. Could be 0-0, could be 1-1.
Yeah,
I think there'll be a tie.
I think people will expect Bamford to score, but he probably won't because that's how it works sometimes.
I mean, hat-tricks are rarities.
Yeah,
people forget that because they like look at Cristiano Ronaldo. They're like, oh, it's his 95th hat-trick for Portugal. It's like, dude, that's hat-tricks are super rare. They don't happen all the time.
I do think that Bamford, when he plays the whole game, he ends up finding chances. He's missed a few sitters, put it that way, this year in some other games. And this is the game, this past game was the game where he put every chance away. Now,
do you think is going to score more goals at the end of the season, Vardy or Bamford?
Vardy. Vardy also is injured right now. He may, when he comes back to full speed, he's going to be firing. And I think he has more experience in the Premier League. I think Bamford finds 15 goals. Vardy finds like low 20s. I don't think Bamford's going to be like suddenly like Golden Boot. Like that's
I don't think he will be either. Well, we've done the review. I'm going to do Dave's picks. Dave has Leeds and Leicester game going over 2.5 goals, and the Southampton and Aston Villa game also going over 2.5 goals, and both are at -110. Those both seem accurate because Leeds has been scoring a lot of goals per game, so they'll definitely go over 2.5. And that's a combined score, so it could be 2-1, and then it goes over 2.5 for either of those games. So Leeds and Leicester over 2.5, and Southampton and Aston Villa over 2.5. Those are both at -110, and that sounds about right because Aston Villa's also been scoring a lot of goals, and Southampton has been scoring goals too as of late. So those are Dave's picks. And now we have a new segment on the podcast called Cronin's questions. Dr. Cronin.
Commander Cronin.
All right. Manchester City are looking pretty average early on in the season, considering how much they won 2018, 2019. I know they lost a few players with Silva and company, and they've got some injuries, but what can they do to get things going, maybe look a little more dangerous?
They need to get Jesus back to cycle with Kun Aguero, and they need Kun Aguero to be healthy. They just need players who are healthy. I think that's it. But maybe, I think his questions are really good because I think it could be deeper than that. Because say you have Jesus, Kun Aguero, De Bruyne, something about them doesn't seem as imperial as it used to be. And as kind of, we're going to come in and we're going to rock the shit out of you. We're going to hold 60-70% of possession. We're going to beat you 5-0. Kind of like what they did to Liverpool and during the restart. What do you think? Assuming all their injuries are back, because I guess those aren't things we can control. But if you're coach, if you're Pep, what are you going to do?
I think they're a team that's a year older. Most of their players, the core of that team is a year older, maybe a year less sharp. So when they're holding the ball and kicking the ball around the field, teams know they're going to do that. So that's not new. They know they're going to be able, they're going to get 65-70% of possession. Now, all you have to do is just pressure their possession just a tiny bit, and they'll make an errant pass. And then you can use that errant pass to create a counterattack and then relieve the pressure off of you and then create a goal-scoring opportunity. I also think that they need Foden to step up and become a real leader in this team. They need to tell Sterling, stop dicking around with the ball and score. Kun Aguero, they need to stop relying on him as the lone striker up front. They need Mahrez to step up. They need Jesus back. But Aguero's old, and they've relied on him for years. Like, give the guy a freaking break. The guy has, like, carried that team in terms of goal scoring. I think they're going to be better defensively this year than they've ever been. Because they have
be better defensively.
I think they're going to be better defensively than they've been in the past couple years.
Really?
Yes. They Ruben Dias is quality.
But 2018-2019.
And Ake is quality.
They won. Sorry, 20.
They got. They.
Yeah, 2018-2019 when they won.
I'm talking about last season.
Okay, let's talk about last season. Because 2018-2019, they were good. They were good. They gave up like less than a goal a game.
Yeah, yeah, no. Last season, they were sieve back there. And that was their problem, especially in the beginning of the season. They were just giving up ridiculous goals and losing to teams they shouldn't lose to. And then they were already behind Liverpool, and they could just never catch up. Even when they were playing well, they were still giving up a couple goals. They weren't getting clean sheets, put it that way. Maybe it's that play out the back style, you know, that's going to be their downfall. I don't know. Maybe it's like, I don't know. Like, that just seems like teams that do that now, like, other teams know how to play against it.
I think it's also that there's just not many good center backs who know how to be on the ball and pass the ball out. So they get really exposed. So I do think you're right. I think Pep may need to think about, how do we have patterns going forward that are just less passes? Because I agree with you. I think, but it's really tough because on the other side, I'm like, yeah, you want to have possession. Like, I'd rather have the ball even in our own back defensive third and have the other team chasing it for 5 minutes than just lob it forward and go into a 50-50. Because I know over the long of the game, when you're just chasing the ball, you get twice as tired with every second that you have to do that. Even if you're a defender. And you're just shifting, watching the other team just knock it around. It's so mind-numbing.
Yeah, I know. But if you're prepared for it all week, if you know that's exactly what they're going to do every day you're preparing for that game, then when it starts to happen, and even though, yeah, you got to run around a little more, you know that, like, they're going to make, like, five passes, and they're not going to do much with those five passes.
I mean, teams have been sitting off City for years and just letting them do that. I just think the problem is now, getting into the box, they're just missing that je ne sais quoi. And right. I don't know what it is. Like, Mahrez, I think you said, he needs to step up for sure. Sterling needs to step up. I still think City are going to win. I don't know if Pep necessarily needs to change anything, I guess is the point. Do you think he needs to change anything fundamentally? Because they're not just going to start booting the ball up the field, because you look up the field and the guys are all shorter. They're all under 5'7".
I don't think they should just play boot ball. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that Pep needs to be less predictable.
It's tough. It's going to be tough. Because he plays one way. He's still playing out of a 4-3-3. He's been doing that since 09.
It could cost them a championship this year.
It could. And if City doesn't win the championship, he's gone. Klopp has a year or two.
I think he looks bold. I think players aren't as excited to play for him. And this is just pure speculation, right? If they start being a mid-table team all season, I don't think they really will be. I think everyone will kind of, the cream will rise or whatever. But if they're still struggling in December and players are like, oh, what are we doing here? Like, what are we doing? Like, it's going to be hard to get players to come to play for Pep, and some players may leave. I don't think that's actually going to happen, but it could happen. It could be like, Pep could just be like bored of the City project. Pep could be like, all right, well, time to move on to another club, go back to La Liga. I heard some rumblings about that. Like, he might be just bored and he like doesn't want to play in the Premier League anymore.
How long was he with Bayern Munich? I think he was with Bayern Munich for 4 years.
Yeah. He stays with the team for 5 years.
For 4 seasons.
4 to 5 years, and then he leaves. That's his thing.
I just think bored. I think Cronin's question is a good one because it's like, what can Manchester City do to spice it up to be more imperial? I think a lot of their current problems is the fact that they did not have an aggressive transfer window, which they couldn't, obviously, probably because, you know, they just got out of FIFA, the FIFA issue they had with the finance or whatever. But it's like they need to bring in a player like Haaland, like Mbappe. They need to bring in a big gun. That's what you do when you're a competitive top team and you have the money that they have. So I think a lot of it is that they may not have the personnel right now to go forward with what Pep is asking. And as you say, he's asking them to play out of the back. But if you play out of the back, that's fine. And if you play through the middle and you're good and you have to be efficient so that way, even if you're predictable, you're still deadly. Because some of the best teams that I've lost to in my career, I knew exactly what they were going to do, but I couldn't do anything to stop it. And they're just not quick enough right now. And they're not executing at the highest level, which is what they think they used to. And they're just not doing it anymore. They're not as intentional with the ball.
It's also concerning because, like we always talk about, no teams have good center backs. They should be able to score goals. Even when De Bruyne comes in off the bench, he should be able to create something. Even when Foden comes off the bench, he obviously is able to create something, but Foden should be getting more playing time. Maybe it's because he played Champions League or whatever, but still, the team needs something. Like, just something. They need something. And I don't know what that is. And we're not really answering Jeff's question because we don't have the answer because it doesn't seem like they have good chemistry right now up front.
Maybe it's just honestly give Phil Foden just a lot more time.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the answer. Just stop trying to play with Bernardo Silva, Rodri, other guys that are great in the ball. Phil Foden's like he's the guy who's going to make Bernardo Silva probably. I think Bernardo Silva, my answer would be Bernardo Silva and Phil Foden actually need to just get a lot more time. They need to stop playing Gundogan. Gundogan is not the deadly player. They need to just say, Rodri, sit him behind, do one holder. He pushes them two up behind the top three.
Yeah, I mean, Foden can find triangle.
That's it.
Can create space and like put in the goal.
He's just so quick. And he's
quick.
Very intentional. And he's so young, he doesn't even understand. He doesn't overthink things.
Right.
He's just playing. He looks like Cristiano Ronaldo when he was like 17 or 18 in the Prem. He just did things because that's what he was going to do. He didn't think about it.
Right. I don't think City's problems are going to get fixed anytime soon.
I think they're actually going to destroy Sheffield. And that's not going to solve their problems, but I think we may get a glimpse of the real City when they move the ball with more purpose and more intentionality. Because if you have that much possession, you have to be so intentional in the final third with what you're going to do and not be reactive. Oh, we're going to push the ball here because that's where the defense is going. No, we're going to push the ball here because that's where we want the ball to go. And when teams sit in the back in the block, they oftentimes, where's the space? It's going to be in the wings. So then City get the ball out into the wings and they're not going to whip it in because they have Aguero in the middle and he's like 5'6". So then they're going to try to play a combination, but if they're tired and they're not playing the ball quickly, it's just predictable, as you've said.
Sheffield's a better defending team than the average Premier League team, even right now.
They defend better in numbers, for sure.
I would say their goalkeeping isn't as good as it was last year. So
this wasn't a question, but we can just talk about this really briefly. Do you think Henderson should have left?
No.
Do you think, because I think United shouldn't have gotten Henderson. And I think they shouldn't have gotten Van de Beek. And we've spoken about this.
Oh, the Van de Beek thing is
But disaster. The Van de Beek thing is crazy. Because they bring that dude in, he's not going to see the field. The way they're playing right now, if Pogba plays well, I think he was brought in as like a Pogba insurance policy. If Pogba sucks it up, we can put this guy in. Because Pogba's honestly like kind of here nor there. I mean, every game you could get, he's Jekyll and Hyde.
The problem with Pogba is that like, I think they kind of want him to play as a holding midfield. Like sometimes it seems like he's like not even playing attacking midfield.
I think they wanted to play in like a you know, the line of three, right? So you have Fred, Pogba, Bruno Fernandes.
But
sometimes I think they do give him way too much defensive responsibilities.
He's not good.
He just doesn't do that.
He doesn't do that.
He needs to be free. He needs to honestly have almost a free role.
But Van de Beek's an attacking midfielder.
It's a weird situation. I don't understand. If I'm a United fan, I don't get that.
If I'm a United fan, I'd be mad because honestly, they should have went after a different player.
They should have went after Koulibaly with everything they had center back.
Yeah, forget Sancho.
I guess that's a tough thing to push through the board. Hey, we need to go get that guy because we bought that guy, Maguire.
Right.
I don't know.
It's all coming to fruition. Van de Beek needs to get out of there January transfer window.
I think Van de Beek needs to get out of there as soon as possible because
he's rotting on the bench.
He's rotting on the bench, dude. He's rotting on the bench. Let's go look at fantasy for a hot second. So in top three, Swiss Cheese FC, Stradley is up there with 377. Not so special one, Ozatik moved backed up into second. And Los Bandoleros moved down one spot. He's now in third. That's Rodney. I am still in 16th 17th is Warner Brothers, Eric Chahone. And 18, Graham's gang is last with 223 points. So I took off Antonio and I took off Jimenez. They both score goals. But I picked up Bamford. So that was awesome. But in the aggregate, it's kind of the same. Because if I had those two guys and I had Ings and he got two assists. So I actually would have had more points if I kept them. But I picked up Son and Kane, and I hope that their magic isn't, you know, hasn't run dry.
The Bunkers stayed at sixth. That's my team.
I think you moved up.
Oh, did I move up from seventh to sixth?
I think you moved up seventh to sixth, yeah.
And I'm continuing to stay solid in this league. Really just pick myself up by the bootstraps and paid attention to the fantasy.
You would be a Reaganomics guy.
I'm
strictly bootstraps.
I'm moneyballing and bootstrapping this thing to victory.
It's unbelievable.
I'm only 60 points away from the top spot.
Really?
60 points, man.
You're 60 points?
60 points.
I'm 130.
Yeah, well, we're competing at different levels. I'm in the Premier League, you're in the Championship.
I'm trying to stay in the Premier League.
You're trying to stay.
Survivor.
You may just get kicked out of the league next year.
All right. Well, week 7 is upon us.
It's happening.
It's going to be a good one. Chelsea need 3 points. Everyone needs 3 points. Let's see who gets it. I'm done with these ties. I really don't like ties.
It's crazy how we went from like Goal City.
Went to Goal Fest, back down to reality.
To like reality, and teams seemed to like all they worked on was defense this past week because there was a lot of ties. It was low scoring with a bunch of ties. So I think we're kind of coming back to reality with Premier League fixtures, with scores. It's kind of getting back to normal, I feel
like. The cream's going to rise. In the next 5 weeks, we're going to see the top six get towards the top. I do believe Everton and Aston Villa are going to start to drop. Leeds as well will start to drop over the next 5 weeks before we get to week 12.
Yeah, it's going to get pretty intense November, December. Well, December mostly.
December. Well, we have Champs League midweek, depending on when you're listening to this and whenever we publish this. So good luck to the Champions League English teams. Well, Jeff, thanks for having me back down in your basement.
I'm happy to have you down here.
Happy to have you down here in my basement. Well, ciao.
Ciao.
If Man United were playing in a big game, going to Anfield, playing City, would you play them two in midfield?
I wouldn't have a problem playing them both in midfield, no. Because I think Pogba can play in one of the front three positions up front. Fernandes ended up playing there on Saturday at the last part of the game. I mean...
But like you say, it's 4 years you've been having this conversation.
Oh, my God. Four he wants him on the left wing now.
4 years talking about where you fit Paul Pogba with this Manchester United team.
I know, that's the problem somewhere.
Will it be midfield?
What I would say is, I've watched Harry Kane for 5 or 6 years in this job, and I've always felt he was more than just a goal scorer, and I've always felt he was a great passer of the ball. And when you do co-commentary, you say things, you react to things quickly, and sometimes you say something and you think, that's not right. And when Harry Kane played that ball against West Ham, I said, he's one of the best passers of the ball in the world. And then you calm down, you think, I've gone a bit big there, I've gone a bit heavy. But then I've actually thought about it and thought, well, who is the best passer of the ball in the world? I'd possibly say Kevin De Bruyne. If you actually look in the Premier League, who would I want on the ball trying to put someone through after Kevin De Bruyne? It'd be Harry Kane. So if Kevin De Bruyne's the best, in my eyes, possibly in the world, well, Harry Kane's probably not far away, so maybe it wasn't the biggest shout in the world.
Thanks for listening to the Boys and Bolos podcast. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Patreon, Twitch, at Boys and Bolos.
If you'd like to be a guest, please reach out. You can hit us on any of the social media accounts that Jeff just mentioned, or email us directly at boysandbolos@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening, and see you next time.